following message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Last week, we went to Hebrews chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 6. Message entitled Sword of the Spirit. Today's message is Sword of the Spirit 2. All right? Part 2. We're going to continue. So I'm going to go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It'll be on the screen for you. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, I've got my Bible here, and I almost forgot. I've got my prop back here. This is actually Brother Paul's sword. He uses this in the Spirit Warrior class. And I know when I hold this up here, there's a good number of you that want to come up here and grab it from me and swing it. Hebrews says that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. So we're going to talk about the sword this morning. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes, the wiles, the trickery of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist. Stand firm, therefore, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me read it this way. Be strong in the Lord and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. A lot of battles are won in the midst of praise. But we have other weapons that we must utilize and we must be familiar with. And there has been a revival of worship over the last decade plus. But we are now in need of a revival of this book. You can't just win all your battles on Sunday morning during worship service. You're going to have to learn to use your sword, and you're going to have to fight on Monday. We can't fight all your battles. We can fight together, and we should. But what are you going to do on Monday when Teresa's not at your house singing? Well, you can turn on the music, and I advise you to do that. But how many of you know that we also have a weapon right here and that we need to get familiar with it? So let's continue in the revival of worship. Let's continue to win battles in praise. Well, let's throw in this other weapon, the sword of the Spirit, and let's start battling back against the enemy. See, there's this thing, though, the battle is the Lord's, and it is the Lord's. But sometimes we interpret that to mean, Lord's got it, I don't have to do anything, and so I don't read, and I don't pray, and I don't worship, the Lord's got me. That's not how it works. Paul said, I have fought the good fight of faith. There is a battle that we have to fight. Now, we're fighting from the position of victory. Notice in this passage, terms, military terms, armor and stand and the Roman soldier's gear, it was likened into all of that. Other places in the Bible, you find weapons of warfare. The words fellow soldiers. Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. 1 Peter 5:8 says that our enemy, the devil, is looking for someone to devour, meaning swallow up. See, there is a battle. Yes, it is the Lord's, and you yield to him and you cooperate with him. But it doesn't mean that the Lord's going to take care of it all and you sit there and do nothing. There is an enemy looking for people sitting there doing nothing that he might swallow them up. We're in a battle. We have an enemy. And like Paul, we have to fight the good fight of faith. Faith isn't always easy. Sometimes you got to fight for faith. Some of you have been in a battle. It started as a sickness. It started as a relational thing. It started as a money thing. But after you got weary in fighting for all of that, and it's moved over, and now your battle has become a faith thing, and you're questioning God, and now it's a battle of faith. We have to fight the good fight of faith. And praise is part of it. But this Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it is our weapon of warfare. Of all the armor that was listed in Ephesians chapter 6, this is the only one that is offensive. It's defensive as well. Yeah. I guess you might say, well, the helmet of salvation is offensive. I can bop somebody in the head with it. Okay, I got you. It's a defensive weapon, right? But the sword is both defensive and offensive. And we have to fight the good fight of faith. And so Paul tells us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So three simple points, powerful but simple points. Point number one is simply this, and we're going to just spend a little time on this because we dealt with this one last week. And you can always go to the website and find that. Point number one is this: God's Word is the ultimate authority. You're going to have to understand that. And you're going to have to grasp that God's Word is the ultimate authority. God's Word determines right and wrong. God's Word. Living, powerful, and sharp. Let me just focus a little bit on the sharp part. It's the sharpness of the sword that makes it effective. Now, Paul's told me this is not a sharp sword except for the tip. And sure enough, it is. I just touched it. So this sword is not as effective as it could be because it's the sharpness of the sword that makes it effective. If you have a sword that isn't sharp, basically you have a piece of metal with a handle. And it could do some damage, but I would rather have a baseball bat than a piece of metal on a handle. But if the sword is sharp, then I'd rather have that than the baseball bat. The sword, to be effective, has to be sharp. And the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, let me just review a little bit for those of you that weren't here. Just to remind you, two-edged sword. When you look that up in the original language, two-edged sword, a lot of people have come up with different things as to what that means. And I'm not saying they're all wrong, but if you go to the original language, two-edged, it means, it gives you the word. I won't give you the Greek word, but it means two-mouth or twice-mouth. When you go to Revelation chapter 1, and John sees the vision of Jesus, he sees Jesus with a sword. Specifically, says a two-edged sword. Which hand is Jesus holding that sword in? Neither. The Bible says that it is coming out of his mouth. The sword of the Spirit is coming out of the mouth of Jesus. And two-edged means two-edged. Mouth. This book, when you read your Bible, you're reading words that are written down. It's the written word of God. But before it was written down, it was spoken by God. Listen, we're doing some teaching here. You need to grab hold of this. This is going to help you fight your battles. The word was spoken by God first and then written down. So the word has been once spoken. And remember, two-edged means two-mouth. The word has already come out of God's mouth. In Revelation, it's coming out of Jesus' mouth. And I suggest to you that the second edge is when you declare God's word out of your mouth. So God's word was spoken by him. That's the first edge. But when you declare God's word, you're putting on a second edge because the word of God that was spoken is being spoken again, two mouth. Are you following? So a sword, both defensive and offensive as weapons, you hide the word of God in your heart for defensive purposes, but you release the word of God from your mouth for offensive purposes. Putting the word in your heart lets you know how to live. Declaring it from your lips helps you fight. Listen, we are called to fight. The good fight of faith. Second point. Told you we wouldn't be long on this one. We won't be long on the last one either. This second point is the heart of the message this morning. Point two is your voice represents your authority. We're talking about you speaking, declaring the word of God. Now, if you never do that, a one-edged sword is pretty powerful. And God's word is all powerful by itself. You can just hide it in your heart. It's powerful. But you're missing an edge if you don't learn to let it come out of your heart, out of the abundance of the heart. Let the mouth speak. We got to get it in so it can come out. And sometimes we just take it in and we leave it there. Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now notice it's the power of the tongue. Because I've heard a lot of people quote this from memory and they say it this way. The power of life and death is in the tongue. It's not that. It's not the power of life and power of death. It's life and death are in the power of the tongue. The tongue is what is referred to as having power in this verse. See, there is power in the spoken word. And we need to speak life to certain things, and we also need to speak death to certain things. There is life and death in the power of the tongue. I prayed over Brother Al this morning. I'm speaking life and health and healing. But some of you need to speak death to depression and anxiety and things like that. But there is death and life in the power of the tongue. So our words have power. Your words have power. I'm not even talking about the word of God. I'm talking about your words have power. This just comes to mind. When your wife says, "Does this dress make me look fat?" Say yes. That word has some power. It will affect the climate and the atmosphere of your home. In fact, the words that you speak day in and day out are determining the climate and atmosphere in your home. Some of you have an angry home. It's not the wood. Well, come over and anoint my house with oil. There is a place for that. I'm not making life for that. We've done that. But it could be you need the anointing, not the house. Yeah. It could be that the climate and the atmosphere has nothing to do with demons in the walls. It could be your flesh ruling and reigning in that house. You create the climate in your home. What kind of words are you speaking? So your words have power. God's word is all powerful. Our words have an added power when our words are His words. So we've already got God's words being powerful, and then when we take the power words of God and then speak them, there's an added power to that. We're putting the second edge on the sword of the Spirit. In Luke chapter 17, you find in the first part of that chapter the story of the sycamine tree. A lot of translations will say the mulberry tree. Y'all, I've preached on the sycamine tree. When you get to the last part of that story, I noticed this. After Jesus talks about forgiveness and offense and things like that, and the disciples say, "Lord, give us faith," Jesus says this: "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this sycamine tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Did you catch it? Jesus said to his followers, "You would say to this tree." Jesus is telling his followers, if you had this faith of a mustard seed, you could talk to this tree. That sounds a little spooky. Or maybe kooky and weird, talking to trees. No, I'm not going into the tree-loving thing. But I would suggest to you that there are some things that we need to speak to rather than pray about. There are things that we need to speak to rather than pray about. I'm not saying that prayer is bad. But there's another kind of prayer that I'm talking about this morning. Praying, "God, help me," is good. But how many of y'all think it would be good to learn to pray a little bit beyond that? Yes. It would be good to pick up the sword of the Spirit, your word, and use that in your prayers. Listen, we need to develop our prayer life. Just like some use worship to fight all their battles and they don't get into the Word of God, a lot of people use praying in the Spirit to do all their praying and they haven't learned how to pray in English. Man, I'm off course now. But praying in the Spirit is when you don't know what to pray or how to pray. You don't know what the will of God, you can't discern it. Pray in the Spirit because the Spirit knows all things. If I come to you and I say I have a financial need, pray about that. In English. Develop your prayer vocabulary. Sometimes we just default to praying in the Spirit and we never develop our vocabulary over here. We don't get into the Word of God and so we don't develop our prayer vocabulary. God, help me. I pray that prayer a lot. Do y'all? God, help me. But is that the sum total of my prayer life? Oh, no, there's the other side. God, forgive me. That's it. Forgive me. Help me. See ya. I want to pray for Brother Al. God, forgive Al. Help Al. Paul, would you like some prayer? Forgive Paul. Help Paul. Anybody else need prayer this morning? It doesn't matter what your need is. Finances, relationship, healing. Help me works for everything. Nothing wrong with God, help me. But how about God help us to develop our prayer language in the Spirit and in the English tongue? Now let me see if I can get back on track. Yes, so Jesus told us we could talk to that tree. Then I go to Mark chapter 11. Jesus and the disciples are walking along. Jesus sees a fig tree at the distance. It has leaves on it. Jesus is hungry, just like some of y'all are right now. Should have got here early for the donut. And Jesus goes to the fig tree, and it doesn't have any fruit. Jesus never sinned, but apparently he's frustrated. Because the Bible says, I'll read it to you, in verse 14 of chapter 11, when he saw that the tree had no fruit, Jesus said, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." He cursed the tree. He talked to the tree. Just like he said we could talk to the tree, he talked to the tree. And then right after that, he told the disciples, you could tell that mountain to be removed and it would be. So Jesus told us back here to talk to trees. Over here, Jesus is talking to a tree. And then he tells them, you could talk to that mountain. So Jesus has us talking to trees and mountains. Now, I don't think he's wanting us to go out there and just mess up the landscape. Some of the men are thinking, man, I got a tree. I want to plant. I'm going to try it. Tree, be moved. No, I think there's more to it than that. I'm just building the foundation that there are some things we need to talk to rather than pray about. So far, it's trees and mountains. But Jesus didn't just speak to a tree. One time, Jesus spoke to a storm. He was asleep. They woke him up, and he said, "Peace, be still." I think he was talking to the storm and the disciples. I don't know about the disciples, but the storm listened and laid down. Jesus spoke to a tree. Jesus spoke to a storm. Jesus spoke to devils. Jesus spoke to Lazarus when Lazarus was dead. Jesus didn't say, "Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, raise dead Lazarus up." He didn't pray to the Father. He didn't pray about it. He spoke to it. Some of you may be a little uncomfortable. Don't be. Let me tell you what you already do. A lot of you talk to your dogs. Raise your hand. Come on, all the Doolittles. Yeah, I talk to my dog, both of them. Usually it's like get out of the neighbor's yard, stuff like that. Some of you talk to your plants. We don't have many. How many of y'all talk to your plants? Go ahead. A few, okay. How many of y'all talk to your car? I don't know. I don't need to know what you're saying to it. It needs to be Christian. And obviously we talk to people, right? How many of y'all talk to that person in the mirror? How many of y'all talk to that person? I talk to myself quite a bit. Especially if I'm messing up. It's like, come on, Hammonds. Just talking to me. So, listen. You're already talking to dogs and cats and plants and cars and trucks. We just got to take that conversation and direct it at the right things. So it's not way out there. You're already kind of weird. We need to talk to ourselves and declare some things by faith. See, words, God's word is likened unto a seed. Go to Mark chapter 4 and you can read all about that. But your words are also a seed. And the things you speak bring forth things. So we need to declare some things by faith. Some of you need to start planting some things in your life. And you need to quit planting some of the negative stuff that you've been sowing. I love this quote I'm fixing to give you. It's by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's in a book he wrote called Spiritual Depression. I don't want to see those hands, the hands of anybody that's dealing with spiritual depression. But they are in here, and that's okay. We're not here to throw stones. We're here to help you. Listen to this quote. Most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself rather than talking to yourself. Did you catch that? Did that land on you the way it landed on me when I first came across it? Most of your unhappiness is due to the fact that you listen to yourself more than you talk to yourself. Now, obvious, the given there is if you're saying the right things to yourself, it's okay to listen to yourself. But what he's saying here is that too many of you listen to the negative you. And you're not speaking to yourself the positive things that are true about you. Now, I need to give a little disclaimer. I don't want you to misread me this morning. I'm not talking about name it, claim it. Blab it, grab it. Shout it, just don't doubt it. I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying that whatever you say you can have. That is unscriptural. Yeah, I know. We call those things that be not as though they are. Can I just tell you where that is in the Bible? God did that. God called those things that be not as though they are. Well, I'm kind of like God. Yeah, and you're kind of not too. Because God spoke the world into existence. You spoke your climate at home into existence. But you haven't spoke planets and solar systems into existence. Now, I'm not saying that we can't declare some things by faith, but people abuse this all the time. They're not in worship, they're not in prayer, just haphazard here and there, but when they run into a problem, they start naming and claiming, start calling things that are not as though they are. They start, I speak to wealth to come to me, wealth come from the north, south, east, west, and God says, get up and get a job and it will come. You can't go foolish with this. If you can show me in that book where God wants you to be just rich, 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 you let me know, and we'll preach that next time. I kind of wish I hadn't even won there. Now I'm in there a little bit, and I got to come out. So what can we speak to? See, it may not be God's will for you to have a bigger house or four more cars. Because a lot of people, when they're naming and claiming, they're just consuming upon their own lust. Now, there may be a balanced person, and God has given you a promise, and that's okay. Because here's what you can declare. I can guarantee you that God wants you free of bitterness. He may not want you to have three cars, but he wants you free of bitterness. He wants you free of resentment and other destructive attitudes. He wants you free of strongholds. He does want you to forgive. So you can speak to those things for sure. You don't have to wonder, I wonder if it's the will of God that I forgive this person. I can show you in the book, get familiar with your weapon, and I can show you that that is in line with the will of God all day long. You can speak to that. Yeah. You can speak to anything that God has addressed. You can declare anything about yourself that God has already said about you. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Well, aren't you arrogant? No, I'm just declaring what God has already said. God spoke it. Now I'm speaking it, putting a second edge. I'm trying to talk to myself more than listen to myself because there's another negative self inside of me that tells me you're a loser. And if I listen to him and don't talk to me, I will fulfill my negative self prophecy. If God said it about you, you can declare it. If God has given you a promise, you can declare that. Just because God can do something doesn't mean that you can do it. He's God. If you are under attack, you can speak to those things. Some people struggle. I've prayed with them at the altar. I said, do you know that God loves you? I'm not sure. You know what? Forget everything else that's going on in your life right now. Let's go to the book and let's find out what God says about you and his love for you. Let's get that edge on the sword. Let's sharpen the sword right there. Let's start declaring that. God says you are a son, a child of God. John 1:12 says, to those that believe on Jesus, he gives the power to become the child of God. I believe on Jesus, therefore I am a child of God. I declare that in Jesus' name. I am a son of God in Jesus' name. You can declare the things that God has spoken about you. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can declare that. I am an ambassador. I can declare that because it's spoken in Corinthians. And I'm not talking about pulling things out of context. You know what an ambassador is? I don't think I said that right. An ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? It's one that represents a nation to another land. We are ambassadors. We represent the kingdom of God right here. And an ambassador has the privilege and power to speak on behalf of the nation they represent. You have the privilege and ability to speak on behalf of the kingdom, and what you need to speak is in the manual of the kingdom, the book. Your voice represents your authority, and when you raise your voice, you release your authority. For those still with me, we will continue. For those others, when we're done, you can go eat lunch and watch the Super Bowl. Listen, here's what I know. It's okay. It's okay. I already knew coming into this, not everybody's going to grab this. Okay? We got to get in the Word, let the Word get in us. And as you become familiar with the sword of the Spirit, it begins to work for you as you declare it and speak it and use that second edge. Amen. So for those still tracking with me, we're going to keep going. When you raise your voice, you release your authority. That's why you got to speak to the destructive attitudes and strongholds and not just think about it. You got to use your voice because there's power in the tongue. Life and death are not in the power of thought. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You've got to release it. You've got to speak it. And when you raise your voice, you release your authority. And let me just make sure you understand, by raise, I don't mean loud. You can be loud and have no authority. It's not about raise as in volume. It's about a sternness. It's about a confidence. It's about a resolve that is in you. It's knowing who you are in Him. It's that. How many of you have seen parents that are loud with their children, but they don't have any authority? Children has all the authority. Nobody in here like that, thank you, Jesus. Maybe some, I don't know. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. Jesus had entered Capernaum. A centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy. You should even come under my roof. Only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Speak. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Do you see the connection, the authority? He relates to the authority that he has and realizes that Jesus has authority. And because of authority, all he has to do is speak. He doesn't even have to go to the house because of authority. It's not about your emotions getting revved up. Because for some, that's all it is. Certain song, certain pulse, and we get revved up. And when we get revved up, we want to go do it right now. That's the moment. There may be some emotions involved, but it's not about emotions. It's about authority. There's a lot of parents, again, that are very emotional. I told you to stop it. That's emotion. That's not authority. Authority says, son, I told you to stop that. And they do it because they know who you are. And the relationship is established. We could go into a parenting thing. We won't. We cannot let our emotions tell us what to think, what to do, and how to react. We have to do the talking and take control of our thought life and emotions. Is your thought life like mine? My thought life is just like, where'd that come from? Why is that going on in my head? Why is that going on? Sandy Allen came up to me today. She had a dream about me, and I thought, uh-oh. She said, in my dream, I had grandchildren. I like that. We'll receive that in Jesus' name. Not yet. In God's timing. And then she said, and they were all calling you Bobo. I don't receive that. Do not receive that. We're going to take the sword of the Spirit to that right now. Listen, we have to do the talking to ourselves, not listening to ourselves. You can listen to your negative self, you're going to go down. You're going to have to learn to use the sword of the Spirit and talk to yourself the things that God has declared. If you don't speak to your emotions, they will speak to you. If you don't take authority over your emotions, they take authority over you. If you don't conquer your flesh, it will conquer you. How do you take authority? The sword of the Spirit. God's word is the ultimate authority. And when you use your voice, you're releasing your authority. And when you put his words in your mouth, the ultimate authority is being released through your authority. This is more than a book. It's alive. I told you last week, it's not magic, but it is alive. Magic is what Hollywood does. They hold the Bible up and people run off and stuff like that. It ain't magic. In fact, just because it's on your coffee table, anybody have those anymore? Just because you have one doesn't mean that it's doing things for you. It doesn't work for you. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's got to be heard by you. One more time, the quote. A lot of the spiritual unhappiness and depression that you may have is due to listening to yourself more than talking to yourself. When your kids do wrong, you speak to them about it. When you do wrong, when you think wrong, speak to yourself about it. Talk to you. You are the boss of you. You have to treat bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, hatred, and the list goes on, like the enemies they are that have come to corrupt your soul. You have to see them as thieves and robbers that have come to steal your joy, your peace, your relationship, and your victory. And you have to speak to them, get out! In Jesus' name, instead of listening and entertaining every thought. Listen, what I'm giving you this morning, you're going to have to go home and start putting this into motion if you don't already. You got homework. You got to practice this. So, I'm talking about praying, yes, pray for things, but also speak to things. You don't need to go home and freak out your kids and start speaking to the refrigerator and stuff like that. If you're in the car with your friend, talk to your friend. There is a time and place for making declarations of faith, for demolishing strongholds. Final point. There is authority in the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus had anointed the disciples to go out and do ministry. It says, the 70 returned with joy, saying this, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Notice the demons are subject to us, indicating that when they prayed against demonic strongholds, they were speaking to the demons. They were speaking to something and not praying for something. They said the demons are subject to us. And then they added this, in your name. There is authority in the name of Jesus. We may go a little further with this next week. We'll see what the Lord allows. But it's kind of like I've done a lot of weddings, and this has happened a number of times. The bride and the groom are up here. You know, they come up, and when they get up here, they're facing me. And I'm speaking to them. And, you know, who gives this woman? They answer, her mother and I. He speaks to me, and then I speak to them. And do you take? Yes, I do. Yes. And then there's a part where they turn and face each other, and I'll have them speak to each other. Repeat after me. I take you to be my lawful. And you're talking to each other. It's happened many times. They're nervous. Maybe you did it. I don't know. They turn, and then I'll say, repeat after me. I, Michael, take you, Teresa. And then he turns and looks at me. I, Michael, take you, Teresa. It's kind of uncomfortable. He's taking her, but he's looking at me. And we do that with prayer sometimes. Father God, I cast out that demon in Jesus' name. Speak to the demon. There's some things we got to pray about, some things we got to speak to. I hope you didn't hear me say praying's a bad thing. Not at all. It's just a different kind of praying. So, use the word, use your voice, and use the name of Jesus. I got a little phrase I want to put on the screen. I want you to say this with me. You're going to go home, if you remember nothing else, go home with this. His word, my voice, in Jesus' name. Help me. His word, my voice, in Jesus' name. His word, my voice, in Jesus' name. His word, out of my voice, in the name of Jesus, that's His authority being released from my authority in the authority of the name of Jesus. Use His word, use your voice, and use the name of Jesus. Declare some things by faith. Battle for some of the stuff that's going on in your home. Can I give you a good place to start with this, what I'm talking about, speaking things? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I wish I'd put this on the screen, but I'm just going to read it to you. Verses 14 through 19, and you'll find the prayer that Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus. This is what he said. He said, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." Paul prayed that for the church at Ephesus. I'm going to pray that for you right now. You got a Bible? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Pray it for yourself. Pray it for me. I'll take all the prayer. If it's God help Pastor Mike, I'll take that prayer. God help me is a good prayer. Please hear me. It's a good prayer. But we're going to move on as well. And we're going to develop our prayer life, right? Because you're in a battle. Listen, if you're in a battle, you got to do more than watch TV and listen to country music. You got to pray. You got to fight. I don't know where that comes from. So I'm going to personalize this. Father God, I bow my knees right now before you that you would grant, according to the riches of your glory, that these people, these friends of mine, your sons and daughters, would be strengthened with power through your Spirit in their inner man, that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith, and that Al would be rooted and grounded in love, and that Paul would be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that Paul Michael would be filled up to all the fullness of God. The sword of the Spirit. Pray His words. Pray His words. There's already a power there. You release it. Declare it by faith.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.